write poetry and send it out on postcards, and you can also receive in turn poetry on postcards, which I think Paul is going to describe a little bit about in his presentation. So everyone welcome Paul Nelson.
Thank you, Greg. I think we're going to widen the circle so everybody who wants to sit down, there's a place to sit over here too. So I'm told by people in the neighborhood that this was a drugstore where they purchased cigarettes and Pepsi. And I was explaining that those are four of the food group items of Ted Berrigan. I think meatballs and speed were the other two. So they were short, but you can probably get those in the neighborhood too. I love this event. I think this is a beautiful concept and a beautiful execution, and really delighted to be part of it, and delighted to talk about this postcard project. I'd like to start a poem with a postcard poet who participated 1 year, I think in year two, Diane DePrima, and she had this poem. Poems are angels come to bring you the letter you wouldn't sign for earlier when it was delivered by your life. Pass that along. It was delightful to get a postcard from Diane DePrima in the mail. Very cool thing. I was just going through my journal. I have this practice of reading last year's journal entry in this year to see what has happened in a year. And sometimes I leave stuff in there for a couple of years. And this poem on Flag Day 2 years ago gets a little bit into the subject at hand, and that would be the reverence, having altars and what have you. So this is starts with a epigraph from Michael McClure from Dharma Devotion number 69. Perhaps nirvana is ceaseless change in muscles and voices, as glib as a lily or a lightning bolt. Flag Day Canto of Surrender. My flag might be a whistle offered to the goddess of cold June winds out there with a ladybug, the 8-year-old spots crawling on a bachelor button filched for a makeshift altar. And altars a canto of surrender offers hints from those who know it's more than guile, more than one tusk broke off and inked dipped, more than ancestors, though they're a psychic lifeline, fine-tunes the personal myth. Or the pine needles, or the rocks, or photoed offspring, or Cuban currency, or the lineage created out of glib lilies and rose campions. If you can't have a garden, you could plant a chime garden, and maybe your June winter whistle will suffice as white flag waved in the darkness of open season on certain citizens. The songs carved out of the block one note or phoneme at a time, and rabbits find it reasonable. The gift of reasons allied with surrender finds its own song in the moment, its own whistle of opportunity, snakes right through without effort, logic, or carelessness, elegant as the herons walk on the June dock, surrounded by the ceaselessness of surrender. So the Postcard Fest started in 2007, and last year had 544 people from 12 different countries participating. You sign up on a list. Costs $15, a little more when it's closer to the fest. And on the 4th of July, you get a list of 32 names and addresses of other participating poets. And the job is to send everyone on your list an original poem on postcard before the end of August. Some people say, is this a poem a day thing? Should I start August 1st? Or can I start when I first get my list? And I try to say, you can start when you want, but we'd like you to finish by August 31st. Doesn't always happen. I found out on the Facebook page, the Poetry Postcard Fest Facebook page, that someone just finished their list from 2001 last month. But they did it. They sent their final 31st card out, and there's a place in postcard heaven for them. The method is spontaneous method. You know, if it's hard to write it, and there's people who think, well, I'll cook it up on my pocket journal, and then I'll write it and it'll be perfect. But the notion is not to write a perfect poem every time. It's to write something from the depths of your being. We had a Poetry Postcard Fest open house, And Zach Charles, who is now entering his second year of the Postcard Fest, said, likened it to this pottery event where one group was told, make a perfect bowl. We'll give you an hour, whatever you do, just one perfect bowl. And the other group, they said, make as many bowls as you can in an hour. Go. And it turns out that the best bowls were done by the people who did as many as possible. That's what it's about. It's not about being Shakespeare every time. It's about having the practice of doing it. So the method is spontaneous. It comes, you know, it comes out of Allen Ginsberg. He had this notion of first thought, best thought. I did a blog post about this with links. So if you want to hear Ginsberg talking about first thought, best thought, you can click on that and hear it in his own words. But he was paraphrasing Blake when he was explaining this concept to me when I interviewed him in 1994. And his paraphrase of Blake was actually better than the original Blake quote. And Ginsberg said, abstraction and generalization are the plea of the hypocrite, knave, and scoundrel. Right? So get to the core of things, use luminous details, and write from your authentic experience. Here's a postcard poem that I had blown up and put on canvas. You can pass this around too. Is this the one I want to start with? Yes. This went to James Cox of Whittier, North Carolina. And I created this card. So this is like an excerpt of Charles Olson's Human Universe, talking also about particularism, very similar to that, you know, that notion of minute particulars, of luminous details. And I wrote this and called it Postcard Milagro. Postcards are like milagros, folk charms, so must be sent with all good juju, unless tempted to tempt fate. Yo no, set on your altar will get you through a cardless winter. Always send in gratitude as a protection against abstraction and to ward off the temptation of discourse. And of course, that is rhetoric I ended with too, as I'm breaking my own rule on that. And I see what to come up in the moment. Charles, in the essay Human Universe, and part of this is on there. It's a little hard to read when you look at that. It's a little hard to read. I could have probably used a better contrast or different kind of font. But Olson said, we've lived long in a generalizing time, at least since 450 BC, and it has had its effect on the best of things. Logos or discourse, for example, in that time, so worked its abstractions into our concept and use of language that language's other function, speech, seems so in need of restoration that several of us go back to hieroglyphs or to ideograms to write the balance. The distinction here is between language as the act of the instant and language as the act of thought about the instant. So the postcards allow you to be in that moment and tell directly what's going on. So yeah, you can keep passing that. I don't know if you like, thank you. So that's Charles Olson from Human Universe. And there's a link to that essay on the blog post as well. That thing was still on my mind, this notion of postcards as milagro, a couple of days later. So you can see it was numbered 996. I number all the postcard poems that I've done. This went to Valerie Garza, who may still be living in Seattle. She was in August of 2020. And this is a picture of my ofrenda, my altar at home, which I described a little bit in that first poem that I read. So you can see a picture of my daughter Ella and my grandmother, Ada Solange Roque, my mom and dad, when they had those photo booths, you know, you'd put a quarter in or whatever and get several pictures, my mom and dad, my grandma Bama, my grandpa Ganesh, and my daughter and her husband and other folks as well. Here's the poem I wrote with that as the postcard. August at the family ofrenda for this postcard milagro, as all poems should be, all creative acts, good spells ratified by rabbits, herons, and kingfishers within whistling distance of Casa del Colibri, or as the Igbo say, Ashe. There's the hummingbird. We call our house Casa del Colibri because my wife Bhakti has two feeders, and so they're regulars at our house, and so I'll pass it that way. Olson talked about how many of him and his contemporaries were going to hieroglyphs or ideograms to write the balance, but in the postcard you have the image and you have the poem, so you have all in one package, which makes it kind of interesting. Sam Hamill talked about epistolary poetry, and it's, I think, an essay that deserves a lot more attention. The letter poem, he said, is for the poet the difficult homage of personal existence, as all being is first personal, then universal. Its declarative nature permits the poet a freedom of commitment and subjective experience utterly alien to other genres. At its most fully realized and most lyrical, at its most intense occasion, the letter poem expresses emotion more purely than any other. And I think maybe that's part of the appeal of the postcard poem. And it exists on multiple levels. This is year 17 that this has been going on. So, you know, you write 31 one year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 years, it starts piling up. And of course, you're getting postcards in the mail. Sometimes you don't get 31, maybe you get 26 or 27. There was a woman who started writing to people on her list that she wasn't getting cards from, saying, "Hey, you haven't sent me a postcard." And someone, you know, told me what was going on. I said, "You know, that's not how it works. No micro scolding here is appropriate." But the fest has several levels. First of all, you deal with the epistle. You're writing something of your deep nature. So, you know, you can keep it abstract. Ginsberg talks about that. The example he gives is you have a dream about sleeping with your mother, and it's like, no, I don't want to write about that. So you write, I did something bad, or I did something that outraged society. You know, and of course, the juice is in the specifics. Maybe you don't write a poem about that particular dream. Maybe you choose something else. So the epistle itself, that intimacy can be challenging for some people. Then, of course, you add spontaneous composition, and you've got to write right on the card. I remember doing a poetry workshop, and I handed out postcards, and this woman was determined to write on the piece of paper and then put it on the card. And, you know, I wasn't even asking her to mail it out to someone. I didn't even bring any stamps, for crying out loud. So it's kind of scary to do it, but after you do 31, you get some feel for it. The next level, and these can be, you know, depending on the person, these can be numbered in different ways, but it's calligraphy. You know, if you have shitty handwriting, it's going to be hard for someone to decipher your poem. So maybe you got to work on that aspect. Or some people, there was a woman who had MS, and so she typed out her poems. Or some people, they type them out on the computer and then they paste them. And at least you can read them, which is, I think, the important thing. So calligraphy then becomes important. Also, the next thing is you start making your own. You start seeing these cool things come to you in the mail. Like somebody, like they were taking cereal boxes and, you know, cutting them up, and or album covers. They were cutting them up and writing on the back of them, which is very cool. Now, of course, you have to realize that if they're bigger than a certain size, it costs more money to send them. If you have a doubt, go into the post office and see. I had to put an extra 6 cents, I think, on a postcard that I mailed out. And it was one of those postcard books, so you think they'd have it down, but it's bigger than regulation size. However, I've got one example. On the website, there are a couple of examples of some of the creativity that comes. And, you know, real artists, not people like me who are making these kind of things, which are okay. I mean, of course, it's better than getting a Costco flyer. That's a shitty postcard, but it's better than getting junk mail, right? Anyway, Abaya Thomas of Portland. And these ones, you can take one and pass one down. These ones are for you. But Abaya Thomas from Portland, I mean, she let us use this as a way to promote the postcard fest. And it's the Cesar Chavez postcard. And they're just beautiful. And, you know, you get something like this in the mail. It's like, oh, this is awesome. Just the card. Poem could be mediocre if you're getting a card like that. But she also has both sides of it down. So, and Tim Atir is another. So he signs up for 3 lists, so he's sending out 93 cards every summer. He's a hardcore. And there are people like Colette Dutton and others who are just, you know, it's like getting museum quality art in your house in the mailbox. It's so cool. It makes it fun in August to go to the mailbox. We even heard a story one time about a postman, a letter carrier, was reading it, and as he's delivering it, he says, "Hey, this one's pretty good," which I think is cool. Another aspect of the postcard fest is the stamps. You know, you get some serious stamp collectors who are got these, maybe they get them from, antique store or what have you, but they spice it up. Some people, you know, they write a poem about frogs, and they happen to have a frog poem left over from a couple of years ago. And then you start getting into that collecting stuff, and it gets addictive. I go to Canada, and I buy stamps. They're no good. I can't, unless I use them in Canada. But it's cool to have hockey stamps or stuff like that. Margaret Atwood stamp, too, which is pretty cool. So stamps is another aspect of it. And then there, of course, is the notion of seriality. This one woman, T. Clear, who lives in Columbia City, Hillman City area, she had all of her 31 poems one August, each of which had the current phase of the moon in it. So she was tracking her August basically that way, and she wrote every day in August. So this notion that you could pick a subject and explore it in depth, I should have put a link to what Nate Mackey said about seriality. When you're writing in serial form, you don't have to be definitive each time, but you can get a little angle on it next time and sort of chip away at it and begin to make some sense of it. I'm with the people who, like William Carlos Williams, who said, I write because I want to know what I think. So when you're writing, especially when you're writing spontaneously, you're tapping into some energy that's larger than yourself. And I think that's one approach to it. Collage, of course, is another approach, and there are many others. And then the last thing I would say about this this sort of onion effect of the Postcard Fest, how there's so many layers of it, is the intimacy of it. You're communicating with people. And after years, you know, you begin to develop friendships. And it's not like the Zoom box, which has its own, you know, drawbacks and positives, but you're getting to know someone, something of someone's life, and you have something to remember. Judy Kleinberg has this box that's about this wide and about that long, and she has each year that she's done the fest, all the cards that she's gotten. And I looked at that as a Virgo, and I felt shame. I should have thought of that. But she has it all together, and so she can go back, and it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, the intimacy aspect of it, I think one of the things that comes up is when someone dies in your life and, you know, you had strong feelings about them. Raul was talking about the ofrenda. This is places where we put sacred things. I have pictures of Sam Hamill and my grandmother and both grandmothers, my great-grandmother, my grandfather, my mom and dad. My dad's passed away. My mom's still alive. My siblings, my daughters, and other things. Water, of course, a place for a candle, a place for incense, and other things. You can see the picture and you can get some sense of that. And so when Michael McClure died, he died during the pandemic, did not die of COVID. And this was the year where we said, you know, they were shutting everything down. So we thought, we're going to have postcards because this is one thing you can do while staying at home. Of course, one person complained that you might be able to get COVID from a postcard. We tried to look at the CDC guidelines, and there was nothing. They said, in fact, about mail that you didn't have to worry about it. But most of the people were very happy that they had something to do while we were stuck at home doing whatever we did during the early days of COVID. But Michael McClure died, and so I wrote this homage to him, as he's been a big influence of my life. When I had him on the radio show in 1995, he talked to me about the process called projective verse, and this very much is in debt to that notion. First, not a first thought, best thought, but what did Olson say? It's a use of speech at its least careless and least logical, which I think is fantastic. So I started out and I wrote to Martha Waiters of Fircrest on the 8th of May, 2020, called it 896 Postcards from the Pandemic. That was my serial form. I was writing postcards from the pandemic that year. Rebellion, reason. He liked to call himself the rebel lion because you take that apart and it's rebel lion, rebellion, rebel lion. So I wrote, using a McClure quote, if his eyes were not already closed, the pleasure would shut them. He has allowed his consciousness to become a blank field. And so goes the rebel lion, rebellion, on surrender to the great life force. And so goes his one last act of mammal patriotism, splash of Johnny Walker black on his lips. This is reason, but so is grrrr, which is an allusion to his beast language, which he wrote in Ghost Hunters. So I give that there, and then I just want to say that I really love the vision of this event. This space reminds me so much of the SPLAB in Auburn at 14th South Division, which Linda, the Native person who left, she said, "You know something about Native culture?" And I said, "Thanks to Beaver Chief." And she said, "That's my cousin." So it was amazing to talk about some of the folks I haven't talked about in a while, Beaver Chief and Baptiste and Wendy. We had that place sanctified by Beaver Chief and Wendy and Baptiste and Dan Red Wolf. We did a cleansing ceremony, and we went through, and it was there. That building was there for over 100 years by the time we got into it. Of course, they tore it down now. But we had so many beautiful events there, and so this place feels to me like it has the spirit of that, and it's good to see it, that kind of spirit being carried on. Even though this cherry pit, what it'll be, five stories probably in a year or two, but here we are now in this moment and having this experience, and it's a sacred thing. You know, it's so rare in this culture to have a sacred thing, to say we're here for a sacred purpose and we're going to do it. And it doesn't have to be stuffy. You could be banging on these things during the break, right? So I want to thank you, Greg and Denny and Amy and Eric and everybody who was involved in this. And I gave everyone a postcard, so part of this could be, we have 5 minutes left, if you like, we could write, or I tell you what, since we have 5 minutes, what I'll do is just close it off, maybe give you the postcard, maybe ask you to write someone in the spirit of the Postcard Fest. Registration for this year is still open. You can go to CascadiaPoeticsLab.org, and you'll find it there, and if you get into a jam, I have a business card, and I can help you out, thank you for hearing me out. Are there any questions? First of all, are there any postcard poets? Greg Bem, Sally Hedges Blanquez, Raul Sanchez, Denny. Denny makes his own poems, or his own cards, as well as his poems. So we have some postcard poets. So any questions, rebuttals, comments?
What was that website?
CascadiaPoeticsLab.org.
And that's where you sign up?
Yeah, you can see the link. It says Postcard Fest. You click there and then it's register. Or you can go to Poetry Postcards, PoetryPostcardFest.org. It'll take you right to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, PoetryPostcardFest.org. Or do a search for it. And it's also on the card, yeah.
You want to be a postcard poet.
Yeah, it's addictive. It's addictive, yeah.
Can I draw pictures?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Technical question, because I didn't watch the video that you posted. Can I just get, an index card and put some stamps on it and send it?
Absolutely.
Solid.
Absolutely can.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Waffle, the backs of waffle boxes.
Waffle boxes.
You could just cut it out.
I have that in my house. I'd like that.
I was just taking a guess, man.
Like, that guy has a lot of waffle boxes.
There you go. There you go. I mean, those are, you probably get two or three postcards out of those, you know.
All right, well, invest in waffle boxes.
Yeah. Well, any kind of boxes like that work. Yeah, I've gotten quite a few of them.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time and attention. I'm very grateful.
Thank you.
For you.
Thank you.